Hey, Mama. So today's episode is actually the audio session I did for a summit I spoke at. In April, I spoke at Gabby Cox's Grow Your Biz Without Socials audio summit, and I spoke on why you need to prioritize marketing platforms outside of social media in 2025. And I wanted to play this because, one, it was a really great conversation between me and Gabby, and we talk a lot about different ways to market your business outside of social media, but also why you shouldn't be relying heavily on social media to grow your business. And I wanted to share it too, because this week, the Make Your Business Social Media Optional Audio Summit is live. It actually started yesterday, May 12th, but there's still time to join. And so I felt like this was like perfect in alignment with the audio summit and all of that. But yeah, take a listen to this conversation between me and Gabby Cox. It was such, like I said, a great, great conversation. And I shared so many tips and strategies for building your business outside of social media. And then if you haven't already, make sure you sign up for the audio summit. You will get access to yesterday's sessions, and the sessions will be available until next Friday, May 23rd. So the link is below in the episode description. Make sure you sign up, and I hope you enjoy this interview.
If you haven't noticed already, the online space is shifting big time, and relying heavily on social media for marketing could actually be hurting your business. In this talk, I'm joined by Andrea Singletary, a wife, mom of two, and visibility strategist for mom business owners. She's here to share why the highest quality leads come from platforms outside of social media and the three must-have marketing strategies to build a sustainable business this year. If you're ready to grow your business while spending less time on your phone and more time with your family, then this talk is for you. Let's dive in. Welcome, Andrea. So glad to have you here to have this conversation about what's working and what's not working in 2025 for marketing.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, as we begin, I'd love to hear, because I know that you take a more low social media approach in your business. What does that look like for you? How do you use it?
Yeah. So with Instagram, I'm not active on there, but I do update my grid quarterly. And so the start of the year, I updated it, and I even like recorded a short story just pretty much saying that, you know, my business is open. I'm accepting new clients. However, you're not going to find me actively on here. And so Instagram, I primarily use for DM conversations. It's been really great to have like those one-on-one conversations that way. But outside of that, I just don't put my energy into creating content for that platform because it's been a waste of time for me in the past. Outside of that, I am pretty active on Threads. And I think with that, because it's just mainly text, it's a lot easier and it fits more with my current season of life as well. It's very easy to repurpose content for there. So like content for my emails, content for my podcast and everything. And so that's probably like the extent of my social media as far as like for my business and everything. But I lean more into long form content, like for my podcast, as well as doing collaborations for visibility and email marketing. I love writing my email list weekly and everything. And those are the platforms that have been working really well for me.
I love that. I love that you have a visibility there, but you aren't really doing much with it. Doing one-on-one chats in the DMs seems like a really great visibility option. So do you have like boundaries set for that, or do you have automations inside there? What does that look like for you? Do you go in daily or weekly, or, you know, just tell us all of
it. Yeah. So when it comes to the DMs, I try to stay within like my business hours. I will like set aside time throughout the day, like maybe 30 minutes a day or so, to kind of go in and respond to DMs and different things like that. But I really try not to be on Instagram that much because it's so easy to get caught up in scrolling and everything. And so I actually have all my social media apps like on the very last, I guess you call it, page for my phone. So I'd have to like scroll to get to those apps and everything. And so that's really been helpful in keeping those boundaries, because if, you know, when I get on my phone, if it's not the first thing I see, it's not going to be the first thing that I go to and everything. So that's been really helpful for that. But I do try to stay off like on the weekends, not really be on socials, really just spending that time with my family and everything. And Threads recently added where you can schedule a post. And so that's really been helpful in not just being on there scrolling all the time too. So just like making those little tweaks to kind of set those boundaries and making sure that I'm not just always on my phone, but being present with my family and, you know, prioritizing those other things that need to be done.
I love that. Setting the boundaries is so important. Otherwise, it can suck all our time. So what are some ways relying on social media marketing limits our business growth?
Yeah, so I think we really have to look at the fact that our ideal clients aren't just on socials, and really just kind of looking at what's going on in the online space. Like, we're seeing more people saying like, okay, how can I get off socials? Do I need socials for my business? You know, is there a way to do this where I'm not relying so much on socials? And so when we're looking at what people are doing, they're not spending as much time on socials, especially just, you know, we have a lot going on in the world. It just seems like there's tragedy after tragedy, and people are wanting to consume that less because it is impacting our mental health. It is, you know, in a sense, stealing our joy and different things like that. And so people are looking for ways to spend less time on social media. And so if you are pouring all your energy into creating content for these platforms and marketing yourself on there, you're missing out on a much larger audience. You know, people are reading blogs, people are listening to podcasts, people are watching YouTube videos, people are attending virtual summits and different things like that. And so you don't want to limit your reach. You don't want to limit your impact. And so when we rely heavily on socials, it does do that. And then, you know, all the changes with Meta and different things like that, like, it impacts, you know, who's actually seeing your content. You know, people are having their content, you know, pulled because it doesn't agree with, you know, their standards and stuff like that. And so just keeping in mind those different things, you know, you really want to be showing up where your people are. And so really looking at, okay, my ideal client, where are they actually hanging out? How are they consuming content? And you'll find, like, especially I believe, like, for business owners, like if in you're the B2B space, they're not really spending their time scrolling on socials, you know, because it is a time suck and they have more important things. So most likely they're working and listening to a podcast episode or something like that. So really just making sure you're not limiting yourself to the social media platforms, because again, your ideal people aren't just on there. They are consuming content in different ways, and you want to make sure you're reaching them on those other platforms.
I love how you pointed out it's not where everyone hangs out. Your ideal client might not be there, or even if they are, the purpose of social media is not to sell for the most part, right? And so like they want to stay on the thread. They want to connect and see fun pictures and memes and things like that. So getting them off of the platform is a lot harder to do. And that was one of the reasons why I just stopped it altogether, because I was getting so frustrated by the algorithm and just I maybe had a handful of clients from social media in all the years I've done business. And so for me, that return on investment was just so low when I could put that time somewhere else. And I know many who are listening right now have full schedules because they have families or other work outside their business or their business and just a lot going on, that if we can eliminate that those extra hours of trying to be everywhere and trying to be on social, it's huge. I think it opens up these possibilities of the other marketing platforms that we're going to be talking about throughout the week here. And with you right now, we're going to talk about a few of those strategies too. But what platforms would you say we should be prioritizing for sustainable growth here in 2025?
Yeah. So I say every business owner needs some type of long form content. And the reason why is that this is SEO based. And so this is allowing people to find you organically. So you're creating these, yes, larger pieces of content, but they have a much longer shelf life. People can find your podcast, your YouTube, your blog weeks, months, years after you've hit publish on it. And so these are the things that are going to continue to work for you when you can't show up online, when you're not able to post on socials, you know, when life is lifing and you need to take a step back, you can still have, you know, that long form content working for you, bringing in new leads, nurturing your audience and converting them into your offers. So I would say that would be the number one thing. And then also email marketing. Every business owner needs to have email marketing as part of their marketing strategy. And I know people are tired of people saying this, but you do own your email list. You know, you can, like, yes, the email marketing platforms can go down, but you can always download your email list. And if you need to switch platforms, you can easily do that. You know, your emails are ending up in people's inboxes. You know, with Instagram, they say what, like 5-10% of your audience sees your content. With email marketing, you can have 40-50% of your email list reading your emails weekly and everything. So it's a much higher return and you're churning out less content. You don't have to send daily emails or anything like that. And so I would say that would be the second one. And then you do need a visibility platform, and it doesn't have to be socials. Collaborations are a great way to get visible. You get in front of already established audiences, and it's not like you having to go out and find the people. You partnering with other business owners who serve a similar audience as you, they're essentially bringing those people to you. And so it works a lot better in that, like, you're not having to put out so much energy or, you know, create so much content, and you can still make this great impact. And if you're like, okay, I'm not quite ready for collaborations, Pinterest is a really great option. Pinterest, I do not consider a social media platform because you don't have to be social. It really is a SEO-driven platform, and it has longevity as well. So, you know, people can find your pins and, you know, weeks, months, years after you publish those pins and different things like that. So really just looking at it differently, really taking a different approach and really looking at what is truly sustainable, because realistically, social media is not sustainable, but you have these other platforms out there that will continue to work for you in the background when you can't show up, you know, when, you know, you have to be even more present for your family or you want to take a vacation and different things like that. Like, it gives you that flexibility that you need.
I love that. And you, like, nailed every single thing we're going to go in depth on this week. It's so amazing, because when we open the box and we think outside the box of social media, there's so much out there. It's so expansive because, yes, long form content is evergreen. It's out there in the world. And we're going to dive into that. Pinterest, I don't consider being social media either, because it's more of a search engine. Yes, you people can comment on pins, but I guess I've never commented on pins or ever looked at comments and things. Like, it's just so different, right? Mm-hmm. And email marketing, nurturing your audience and owning that platform and having those leads and not knowing that you're not going to get in Facebook jail. You're not going to get canceled on social media. Like, you don't own those platforms. And so it's really important for us to be able to have a place that we know is going to be sustainable, like you talked about. And collaborations has been my favorite thing. I mean, that's why I do this conference every year, to show what a big collaboration looks like. But there's so many different ways to do it. And I know we're going to go into a bunch of different ones, but I'd love to hear, like, what are some of your favorite ones that you do?
Yeah, so I love podcast guesting. And I mean, it makes sense. I have my own podcast, so getting behind the microphone, absolutely love that. And I also love, like, speaking at summits like this. It's a lot of fun to be able to just bring this value to new audiences and everything. And then I also enjoy doing bundles. I know sometimes bundles can have a bad rep, but when you're very strategic about it, they can be, you know, very effective for growing your business, generating new leads and everything. But I think just the best part in general about collaborations is just connecting with and meeting new business owners, you know, expanding your network and learning more like what other people are doing and their expertise and everything. Like, I've been able to develop, you know, referral partners that way. So like I find someone who's doing some amazing things where I'm like, oh, you know, my clients could really benefit from connecting with someone like them. So I think that's been the best part of, you know, doing collaborations in general.
I love that part too. The connections you make, lifelong friends and just accountability partners and mastermind peeps and just lots of things that wouldn't have happened otherwise. So putting ourselves out there sometimes is a little scary and hard at first, but man, it's just so rewarding. And the impact it makes and the way that you can really gain visibility quickly, there's nothing like it. I know it's an active strategy, whereas like long form content is active too, but it's evergreen. So once it's out there, it becomes more passive along the way. But I don't know if I would give up collaborations in total in my business, just because I like that connection. Yeah, I think some of my favorites are these conferences, but then I love doing like lead magnet swaps inside of emails. And I love bundles. I don't know. I guess I didn't realize there might be controversy with them, but I think they're great. So yeah, those kinds of things. And podcast guesting, same thing, have a podcast. So it's great to be able to even do podcast swaps with others, get on their podcast, get them on mine, and just have some great conversations. So yeah, I love this. Okay, so as far as marketing strategies go, do you have any other like tips or things we haven't talked about that you wanted to bring to the table here today?
I would say like the biggest thing we haven't really talked about is that mindset piece, because I know people really struggle with that. Like, oh, I'm going to miss out. Oh, you know, is this going to hurt my business if I step back from socials? And the reality is that, you know, every strategy works. Like, it doesn't matter which one it is. You have to find what works for you. And so if you've been pouring your energy into socials and you're not seeing that return, then it's time to do something different. It's time to give, you know, these other platforms a try and everything. And you'll see, like, once you get started, especially when you find something where like you're enjoying the way you're creating content and everything, and you really lean into it, it's going to make a world of a difference. Like, you're going to feel a whole lot better. You're going to be excited about creating content for your business and everything. But the first thing is just making that step and trying something different and, you know, not talking yourself out of it and different things like that. But trust me, it's worth it. Like, I'm on the other side of it, and it's been the best decision I've made as a business owner, as a mom, as a wife, just giving me more of my time back and really enjoying my business, enjoying the marketing aspect of my business and everything.
Oh, I love that mindset piece, because if we're not enjoying what we're doing, why are we doing it? Right. And so like for me, I did not enjoy a lick of social media, like being on there for my own life. Like, I like looking, I go on Instagram every once in a while just to check out my boys' accounts and see what they're up to. But my husband kind of like regulates their stuff, so I don't have to worry too much about it. But like, it doesn't appease me. And I don't have any socials on my phone. I don't like pick up my phone to scroll. It's been amazing. And just like freedom to get to do what we want, what we enjoy. And I think you made a really great point that there's so many different options for marketing that you can't do them all at once. You're going to be drinking from a fire hose this week with all the different things. And we're going to go in depth on all the different ways, but testing each or testing a couple of them is going to be important for you to see if it works for your business and how you like to do things. And then stick with those things that are working. If they stop working, try something different. I think sometimes we get stuck in the rut of thinking we have to do something. And that's what social media became for me, was have to and a should instead of I want to, right? And I know there are certain things in our business that we need to do, even if we don't like to do it. But I don't think social media is one of those things.
I agree.
So let's talk a little bit about the close. So when it comes to, obviously we have a business, which means we have products to sell or services to offer and sell and whatnot. What would you say makes closing that sale easier on platforms that are not social media versus actually trying to get the sale on social media?
Yeah. So if you think about it, you know, for instance, people who are searching Google, you know, they have a problem, they're looking for a specific solution. And so if they're actively searching for a solution and, you know, they come across your podcast, your blog, you know, your website, those people are ready to invest. They know they have a problem. They realize they need support. Now they're just looking for the right person for them. That compared to social media, people are usually scrolling, you know, again, especially for those of us in the B2B space, like our ideal people, they're not necessarily scrolling Instagram trying to find us, trying to find that support. They're searching Google. They're asking people in their network, like, hey, you know, I need support with this. Do you have someone you can refer to me? So if you want those quality leads, you need to be showing up on the platforms where those quality leads are showing up, where they're looking for those answers. And social media isn't necessarily it. Yes, people sign clients from socials, but I've found someone who's found me on Instagram versus someone who's found me through my podcast, there's a lot more going back and forth. They have a lot more questions. They're a lot more hesitant to move forward with, you know, investing with me versus someone who's binged my podcast. They're like, I'm ready to sign, or they may have one question and it's a much easier sell to close. Like, they've already really gotten to know me through my podcast content. They know my coaching style. They know my strategies. I will even have people like on a sales call tell me, yeah, I remember you saying that in one of your podcast episodes. And so it's different in that sense. Like, it doesn't take as long to close those clients versus, again, those who are just consuming like your Instagram content and everything. Because on Instagram, it's short snippets. It's not really giving them a full picture of who you are. And let's be real, nobody's scrolling back through your Instagram content for other posts where maybe you did give a little bit more, maybe you shared a certain thing versus your podcast. People will binge episodes. Like, I remember someone who was new to my podcast, he sent me a DM and they're like, hey, I just binged all of your episodes in a week. And I think at that point I was at over 100 episodes and everything. And they ended up moving forward with working with me and everything. But it's just, with like your long form content, I feel like there's a little bit more intimacy there. They really get to know your voice. They get to know more of your personality and everything. And sometimes that's hard to come through in those short snippets with the social media content. So it's that, I would say, like, that's the difference in, you know, just the quality of the leads as well as the type of information they're able to get in social media content versus like your podcast, your YouTube, your blog, and different things like that. Like, even these summits, like, this is kind of interview style, right? They're getting to, you know, hear me talk. They're getting to hear like my coaching and teaching style and different things. It's a little bit more intimate versus if they went over to Instagram and tried to binge that content, it's just not the same. Like, they would need more. And usually they would probably end up over to my podcast, you know, after going on Instagram, finding me, and they'll want more. But if they've already found me through my podcast and they binge that content, they've gotten a really good picture of who I am and how I can best serve them.
Yeah. Yes and amen. Like, it's so much warmer off social media for them to make decisions, and having the voice talking with you, or the video that they get to watch you and see your personality and just hear in your teaching style a little bit more. It's an easier yes. And the yes can come quicker because of it, because you're nurturing them. You're building that relationship, and relationships always come before results. And so that is just huge. Now, do you have any stories, like one or two stories of clients that you've worked with who have shifted off of social media and saw better results? What are you seeing with this?
Yeah. So I worked with a doula, and she was like actively on socials trying to find clients. She was engaged in Facebook groups. She was posting content on Instagram, but she just was not signing any clients. And so she came to me and I learned more about her and everything, as well as like really learning like how she enjoyed, you know, showing up and connecting with potential clients and everything. And so we found for her, in-person networking worked best. And so we really looked at, okay, what can that look like for you? You know, what do you have like locally to you, like networking events that you can go to and everything like that. And so she really leaned into that, and she attended, it was like a doula speed dating event. And she had like, it had been probably 6 months since she had last signed a client. And so she went to that event and she was able to sign a client from that event and everything. And to just go like 6 months without signing any clients to literally attending one event, showing up, being herself, connecting in person with, you know, her ideal clients, and to sign a client right then and there, It was huge for her. And so she really just leaned into that and ended up, you know, signing back to back clients that way, just leaning into like those local events and showing up in person and just being able to not, you know, even worry about socials and everything. Like, it took the pressure off her. She felt a lot better about her business. She really started enjoying things in her business and everything. And so that was one thing we did. And then she loved to write. I encouraged her to lean into blogging. And so she got back to blogging, and literally she went from like no traffic on her website to, I think within the first month, having like hundreds of people visit her website. And it was like a specific blog she had just written and everything. And she was able to generate leads from that as well. And so just making those shifts, like, because she was literally on the verge of just closing her business, being done with it, going back to getting a 9-to-5. But we made those simple shifts and she saw immediate results, and it lit her up. You know, she was showing up authentically. She was marketing her business in a way that she truly enjoyed. And so I would say like that was one success story. And then I have one more. She was a STEM coach for STEM teachers. And so she actually had a pretty big following on socials, but she wasn't seeing a return. So how she supported her audience was she created resources in her TPT shop. And she saw sales here and there, but it wasn't enough for her to go full time with her business. And so she launched her podcast and she came to me, and I really supported her with creating strategic podcast content that would funnel people to her TPT shop to really highlight different resources and everything. And so literally within 3 months of us working together, she doubled her TPT sales. So she went from sporadic sales to not just making sales every month, but doubling how much she earned. And that was just with adding the podcast. And like I said, she had a really big following on socials, but it just, her audience wasn't engaging with her content like they were with her podcast content. I would say like those would be two examples of, you know, just making those shifts and stepping away or stepping back from socials and focusing on other platforms. And it just really yielded great results for those clients.
I love those stories. And I hear so many like that too. I mean, I have my own story like that, that I have shared many times. And it's just shows like not every method works for everybody, but there is a method that will work for you if you want to make it work. And it's leaning into those things that you were talking about. You help them personalize what's going to work for you. What do you like to do? How can we mesh that? Amazing. So as we wrap up, what would you say is the number one thing that you would tell someone who wants to start transitioning away from social media reliance to do? Like, what would be that number one thing to kind of start the process?
I would say figure out, how do you actually enjoy creating content? You know, if you love writing, get started with blogging. If you love, you know, talking, like being behind the microphone, I would say start with guest podcasting first and then launch your own podcast, because guesting and launching your own and managing your own, two different things, two different time commitments. So I always say, make sure you truly enjoy podcasting before you launch your own, but get clarity on what you actually enjoy doing, how you enjoy showing up. You know, like we've been saying, if it doesn't light you up, if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to commit to it. And the reality is that we have to market our businesses. We have to sell our offers. And so you have to find the method that you truly enjoy and you can commit to. So figure out what that is first, and then just give it a try. You know, maybe you don't step away fully from socials yet, but you can slowly transition to stepping away, stepping back, or not relying on it as heavily as you add in these other platforms and strategies and everything.
Yeah, I love that. And we're going to be, as we go, we're going to be talking about each of these different methods, diving deeper into them so you can get an in-depth look on what they look like and how they work and find the ones that resonate with you. Now, you have a really amazing free resource for everybody listening, the Make Social Media Optional Private Podcast. So tell us a little bit about what is inside and what people will get from that.
Yeah, so in the private podcast, I break down three ways you can make social media optional. So I dive into email marketing, you know, effective strategies for that, especially, you know, if you already have your email list, but maybe you're struggling with, you know, what to send your list each week or how to actually see conversion. So I dive into strategies for that. And then I also talk about podcasting. So really leveraging your podcast for leads and sales. And I share different strategies for doing that. And then I wrap it up with collaborations and how to really leverage them for visibility and lead generation.
Awesome. So make sure you grab that. And Andrea, if anyone's ready to connect with you or wants to learn more about what you do, what's the best place for them to find you?
Yeah, so I highly recommend checking out my podcast, Marketing Without Socials for Moms, where we have conversations like this every week. I share different ways to grow and market your business without relying on social media, as well as sharing behind the scenes of how I'm running a business as a mom of two toddlers, and, you know, the raw and real behind motherhood and entrepreneurship. But if you truly want to lean into building a business that is social media optional, definitely check out my podcast.
I love it. And thank you so much for being here with us today. Just having the insight of what is working right now in 2025 and wrapping our minds around the mindset shifts that we need in order to make these things happen without relying on social. I have had such a great time with you.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation.
This session was packed with so much value. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Grow Your Biz Without Social virtual conference and for wanting to get intentional and strategic with your marketing so that you can grow your business and get your God-given message out to the world. After all, that's exactly what this event is for. I'm your host, Gabe Cox, and you can grow your business without social if you want to, or use it in a way that aligns with your values and enjoyment. Be sure to grab your VIP upgrade before the opportunity expires if you want lifetime access to these talks and a bunch of other great bonuses. And I'll see you in the next session. In all things, I pray you just run your race. I believe in you.